It's gonna be a beautiful wedding.
Here you are, standing on the precipice of something so much bigger than anyone here. But always remember, you are not alone.
I don't think that we met. I'm Sarah.
Niles.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my god, are you cheating on me? No, you're cheating on me, you goof. Wait, what?
Welcome to the good, the bad, the watchable. I'm Nick Rojas. He's Mark DeSisto. That was Nick Boyle. It is a movie podcast where we talk about the movies we watch, movie news, shows, and more. Fellas, how you guys doing? What's up? What's new?
Doing good, my friend. Thanks for having us on.
Very, very good right now. Very good.
Mark is on a roll with movies.
I was going to say, I had a great week of watchable movies and good movies and very seldom bad movies. Well, but I did fill the list for the first time in a couple weeks, so I did finally fill my picks.
That's good, because unlike my good friend Nick Boyle, I'm all over the map. I've got good, I've got bad, I've got watchables.
I love it.
He's covering the whole swath.
We're hitting all the bases.
Not to give away anything, but I don't have any bad movies I saw. But I'm very limited in the amount of movies I've watched this past week. But it's just the weather's just been, I guess, just too nice. But I do watch a movie a night with Austin when I'm in Pawtucket. But yeah, guys, let's get right into it. We got a lot to talk about. First off, first thing on our agenda, it's not great news. Obviously, with everything going on with COVID-19 going on, there's a lot of things in flux, and unfortunately, we got another pushback in Tenet. It is delayed again, and it was supposed to be released in August. Not going to happen. It is now delayed indefinitely, and it might launch first overseas. Obviously, disappointed. What are we thinking about this? Have we come to accept it?
I'm going to go ahead and say this stinks, Nick. It's in fact bad and not good, and I'm going to say this is why. They didn't even give us the New Mutants treatment. They didn't delay it like a couple of months and then wait till those, you know, months get used up and then just delay it again. They slapped us with an indefinitely. We have no idea what to expect.
No. Boyle, would you pay to see this at home right now?
No. And I'll be honest with you. I'm okay with it. I think this is a movie you need to see Tenet in theaters, and truthfully, I'm fine with delaying it because I want to be able to go. I don't want people to be able to go that feel confident and okay with going to the theater and being infected or whatever, and then telling everyone all the spoilers. Like, this needs to be a surprise that we can all try our best within a weekend to try to go and see. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this. Like, I want this the right way. I want this the safe way, and I want this. I'm okay with that. I'm honestly okay with it. It stinks, but I'm okay with it for the circumstances.
2 weeks ago, I would have been okay to see it in theaters in August. Now I'm kind of like, you know what? I don't know how worth it is. I don't know when they're going to delay this, but I do want to see this. If they did offer it at home viewing for premium video on demand, I'd probably pony up to do it. But yeah, I'm with Boyle. Like, I want to see this in theaters. I really do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right to go to a theater yet.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it's safe enough. And I don't think that I get the conversations there, but kind of like the last episode, I just don't think it's the right time. I don't.
Yeah.
So, I will say this has big IMAX energy for me.
Oh,
I'm
totally.
Not even sure with a good home theater setup. I mean, it'd have to be diesel. If you've got a good rig set up at home, then like maybe you could do yourself some justice. But I really think like I want to see this for the first time in IMAX.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I'm going to budge from that. So until the IMAX is ready to rock, you know, then I don't mind that this is delayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys. I think we're all in agreement. We just had to mention that Tenet, which was going to be the biggest movie of the summer, has been delayed. So, well, up there along with Wonder Woman and Black Widow. Boyle, you going through like a haunted house there? What's going on?
No, I'm just like getting stuff done while we're doing the pod.
That's awesome. It definitely doesn't pick up on the microphone.
So I basically got home like 20 minutes before the pod started, but I didn't really get time to, because I took Bodhi for a walk. So I didn't get time to like turn the AC on, turn the fans on. AJ's on his way. We're going to have like a brother night. So yeah, good times.
Well, thanks everyone for putting up with our audio over the last few weeks, because we do have plans for doing one in person soon. Which we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Not on the podcast. We'll talk off pod. Next up, Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts have landed their own Netflix movie. It's based on a book that has not come out. Meanwhile, we also have Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling, and the Russo brothers signing on to do a movie of their own. $200 million for that. Between that and Red Notice that's coming out in November, are we starting to think that Netflix is beginning to take these kind of like mid-tier movies seriously? Because we know they've been doing the awards movies seriously, but are they starting to... Are we starting to get some faith in some of these Netflix movies at all?
I'm going to say we're taking steps in the right direction, but it's just, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Like, some of these movies are just, that we'll talk about later. We talked about Extraction extensively for one, like it's serviceable. It was good, but it seems more like they're just trying to get eyeballs, not really trying to get awards. If that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, $200 million on the Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans movie? I'm assuming you're fired up for that, but...
I was going to say, like, I'm honestly pretty excited for it, but I don't think that any of the Netflix movies so far... For one, I haven't heard any that were advertised that I was like, ooh, I can't wait for that. So this is probably besides The Irishman, this is probably the first movie I'm excited to see from Netflix that I knew about. Mm. And like we were just talking the other day in our group chat, I just don't think there's anything out there on Netflix that's like, wow, this was so worth it. But similar to like Amazon Prime right now and Hulu, they're buying the rights to movies that were supposed to go to the movie theater that aren't going to obviously make it because they're smaller films, such as like the Camille one a few months ago and stuff. Like that's where we're going right now. You're going to have the big blockbusters, Black Widow, the new James Bond, the Mulan movie, all these movies, Quiet Place Part 2. You're going to have all of these movies that are obviously still going to be in the movie theaters because they're the big blockbusters, Tenet, IMAX, of course.
Yeah.
But all these smaller films are like, let them go out to Amazon and Hulu and this and that, and let them buy that it can be shown rather than these on-demand movies that nobody's buying and nobody's taking the time to watch. Like, if Old Guard was to buy, it would never have gotten the same views as if it was like it was on Netflix. Just my two cents.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. There is a little bit of a noticeable difference in the non-comedy realm, Mark, of the movies that Netflix actually produces and makes versus the ones they decide to pick up and distribute. Because I feel like they're picking up the scrap heap ones and just throwing them on their service, whereas the ones they actually put their money behind, and we'll talk about it later with The Old Guard and, you know, like some of the other movies that they actually made, like they're decent. Putting Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling in a movie, that does it for me. Denzel and Julia Roberts in a movie, Denzel kind of, that kind of commands my attention.
Once you get Denzel involved, I mean, Julia Roberts, I can't tell you the last like new movie that she was featured in that kind of got, you know, got the juices flowing. But it'd be interesting to see if she's still got her fastball with our man Denzel.
Yeah, apparently they were in the Pelican Brief together back in the early 90s. So it's a reunion of sorts of some heavy hitters. But we're keeping our eyes on that. I don't want to say that it all rides on how good or not Red Notice is going to be, but, you know, Red Notice, that's a lot of money that they put into that movie too, and then this movie is going to blow it out. The Gray Man.
Just want to see some more substance behind these big budgets.
Yes,
give me something I can work with. Make it a little more memorable.
Right,
because
like,
Extraction again. I'll go back to Extraction because those fighting sequences were sick. That was the whole reason I enjoyed the movie. But other than that, it was like very shallow script wise, character wise. Like, I don't really remember any of the other characters or any of the like the lines from the movie because it wasn't about that. So as long as it's self-aware, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's we'll see, but tentatively excited about this stuff because it looks like they're putting their money where their mouth is. I don't know where they're getting this money from. Apparently, they've been in debt for years, but whatever. That's besides the point. Moving on from one streaming service to another, Peacock has arrived, unless you're Nick Boyle. Whereas if you had Xfinity for a while, Peacock has existed. But Peacock is the, and I have to be careful while I say this, because NBC doesn't want this being known as the NBC-only streaming service, because NBC Universal, which has a lot of their stuff on there, is not. They're leaving some room to have some non-NBC Universal stuff on there, so they didn't want to call it NBC Plus or anything like that. So, but it, for all intents and purposes, this is the NBC streaming service. It dropped this past week for the public. Has three tiers. It has a free tier with ads where you can watch a lot of stuff. A paid middle tier where you unlock, I think, pretty much everything else but with ads. And then the third tier, which has no ads. Pretty good prices. Guys, what do we think so far about their movie selection? They have movies like E.T., Jaws, Jurassic Park, you know, the big Universal movies. Anything that caught your eye? Anything that you think will make you sign up now, or you think you'll sign up down the road? Boyle, you already had it.
I have it free right now, and I think that it's – I haven't turned it on once. I'm so overwhelmed by so many other movies and so many other things right now that I don't have the time to add another thing. But maybe there's some classics I should look through, Rojas, because I didn't know those were on there. I've honestly been wanting to rewatch Jaws and stuff, but I'll take a look through it, but I just can't promise that. Like, luckily for me, it's with my service. Like, if I was a non-service person, I don't see how this might be worth extra money on top of all these other streaming services. Like, we've had that conversation before. But what about you, Mark? What do you think?
I haven't taken, like, a deep dive into it yet, but I'm strongly considering adding this to my repertoire just because, I mean, it's got Jaws, Jurassic Park. Is it going to have all of the Jurassic Parks, like the newer ones, too?
I think there's been a lot of articles I've been flipping through. There's obviously the stuff that they have right now, and then obviously some of the stuff that they're going to be adding in the future. I believe so. But whenever I think of Jurassic Park, I feel like they're just so tied to Universal being tied to the first one and not really like – they don't really care about the second and third one as much. Shout out to our guy, Dave Allen, who watched all the Jurassic Parks right now, currently on a Jurassic Park rewatch. He's been doing them on Letterboxd. But yeah, Mark, they're going to have the Godfathers eventually. I don't know if they have them
right
now.
That, like, right there, like, I just kind of want to have those at my disposal whenever I feel like watching the greatest movie ever made, The Godfather.
Right. Yeah, it's – like, I want to watch Fletch. I tweeted last week. I was like, and
which one's Fletch?
It's a Chevy Chase movie. I literally only want to watch it so I can then listen to a podcast of the rewatchables. I quickly want to say that a Providence College alum is in charge of Peacock, and I tweeted about Peacock selection kind of being meh before I knew that. So I then deleted the tweet. But, you know, since you guys are listeners, you get to hear this. But I was fair in my tweet. I said, I can see it being something I sign up down the road, but not right now. Like, and we have this problem with a lot of streaming services, guys. The movies that are on there that are good, you tend to have already seen. So that doesn't quite get me out of my seat to get something. It's got to be a lot of like, we're going to have some good original content that you got to check out. And our library has to be so big that it's got so many classics you haven't seen. That's me personally. So Peacock isn't quite there yet. I don't know, but maybe it will be. It's tough. There's just so much streaming going on, but I would say of the recent ones, Peacock catches my eye more than Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus. And that just
Apple TV Plus.
I would agree with
really
you.
Just not caught my attention at all. They have, like, I saw a couple like previews for that TV show they're doing with Chris Evans. It's like Saving Jacob or something that looked interesting, and then I just never even attempted to sign up or do Apple TV Plus, whatever it is. So I guess I don't know. I'll take a look into Peacock. I'm still trying to catch up with HBO Max. I'm not in a rush to get this new stuff.
Yeah. Hey, but to both of you, let this be our bi-weekly public service announcement, and Mark can join in on this with me. Get a deal with Roku and Amazon, please.
Please. HBO Max.
So listen, I did.
We know why, Boyle, because they want to share. They want to get a share.
No, I did get a notification of it.
Wait, what notification?
I got a notification. So I got a notification on my Roku. No, it was on my Roku. It said that my HBO is only allowed until like the 27th of July, and then it's switching over, and it didn't say anything else. So I'm guessing by then the update will happen.
What do you have on your TV, HBO Go or HBO Now?
HBO Now.
Okay. I need to read into this. I'm going to fact check this eventually on this podcast when you guys are talking. But let's move on. Let's talk about the movies we watched this week. Let's start off with the – we got two new movies to talk about that's been released this month. That's very exciting, guys. Let's talk about this one first, though. Palm Springs. It's released on Hulu, 2020, obviously, release. It was released on July 10th. Plotline is when carefree Niles and reluctant maid of honor Sarah have a chance encounter at a Palm Springs wedding. Things get complicated as they are unable to escape the venue themselves or each other. And that's all we'll say about that until we get into like the spoiler warning real quick. Directed by Max Barbacow, written by Andy Ciara, starring Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, J.K. Simmons, and a few host of other people that are very funny. This was, again, released on Hulu. So anybody who had Hulu could watch it, which is a huge benefit. What do we think about this? Mark, let's start with you.
I really enjoyed this. When it comes to the Groundhog Day scenario style movies, by and large, I'm a fan of them. Tom Cruise's and Emily Blunt's was Live, Die, Repeat or The Edge of Tomorrow. The actual movie Groundhog Day. Anytime we get in these infinite time loop type movies, even Happy Dead Day. I enjoyed that movie too. I really like this concept because for the first time in a while, or I think besides like Happy Death Day, they've got two people involved in this infinite loop. And I think that Samberg and Christina Milioti had great on-screen chemistry. I thought the way that they played off each other was really nice, really refreshing, kind of keeping their the humor up while also moving the plot forward. I really enjoyed this, guys. I didn't think it was hysterically funny, but it was definitely entertaining, definitely worth my time and worth other people's time. I think towards the end, it dragged like just a little bit, but that's going to happen sometimes.
Every comedy.
Overall, I'll do my rating right now. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. Totally serviceable. And I'm an Andy Samberg fan. I think if you're an Andy Samberg fan, you get a lot of his kind of weird, quirky, like over the top, kind of like silly humor in there. And it worked. I thought he did a really good job with this.
Yeah. I'll save my things. Let's go on the not quite other end, but a differing opinion here. Boyle, what'd you think about it?
So I enjoyed the movie like a lot. I'll tell you something. This to me was a watchable, but it just and that's funny because a lot of people, I know a lot of podcasts we listen to and you guys included, loved this movie. I just was there for the ride. I thought it was funny at certain parts, but I didn't overly laugh like I have at other things or enjoyed it as I have other things. And I'll get to that later, but it was just to me a fun movie. I enjoyed the cast. I enjoyed the acting. I thought everything was as great as it could be. I thought the plot was fun. I thought it had its moments, but it was just when you guys were bashing the Will Ferrell comedy stuff, like to me, this was like Annie Sandberg trying too hard to be Annie Sandberg. Really? Like I thought, yeah, like I just thought like I've seen him funnier and I just felt it was stretch. I thought, and please help me out here. What is the actress's name?
Kristen Milioti.
I thought she did a spectacular job, but I just don't think it was all there. I think they could have had a fun couple cameos that might have like lightened the movie a little bit more too. To me, 6.5 out of 10 on the Fisher scale. It was enjoyable. I had a great time, but I just overall effect, it just didn't, I didn't love it as much as I thought you guys were communicating to me, but I did still enjoy it. I will admit that. But Rojas, go ahead, bud. Tell us about it. I know you had a huge love for this movie.
I have a crush on this movie. I was telling my buddy B-Cat earlier today, this is one of those movies that comes along every 5 years that I have like a crush on as a movie. Like it's such a little movie, and I'm like, I love you so much, little movie. You're the little movie that could. And again, I'm – for the first person to admit when sometimes I can be a little bit irrational with how much I love a movie. But we were talking on the last episode about how the chart of movies that get made in Hollywood these days, and how movies like this just simply don't go to theaters as often as they used to. These small concept romantic comedies, they just don't. We get a bunch of teen romance movies on Netflix these days, and then that's it. And I was talking to Kyle Bridger on this from Dual Redundancy on Twitter, like, about how, like, you just don't see those movies aren't made for really, like, kind of like adults anymore, young adults, it feels like. And so I was just, it was a breath of fresh air to get a quality movie that is in this genre right off the bat, first off. Building off what Mark said, the chemistry between Andy Samberg and Kristen Bellotti felt deserved and earned throughout the movie. Like, just seeing them together just seemed right. It didn't seem forced at all. And that kind of leads into my second thing. And again, I hate to have to compare it, but it's just another streaming comedy. The jokes in this movie felt secondary to the story of this movie. What I'm saying is, it seems like they wrote the story first. There's other comedies that we've seen, like Eurovision and The Wrong Missy, where they're kind of like making their jokes and setting first, and then they kind of like cobble together a story between it. Whereas this one, it felt like, let's write the story first, and then let's see where we can pepper in jokes. So yes.
Totally.
Agreeing with you guys, This isn't a movie that you're going to be laugh out loud dying. And I don't know the last movie I saw that I was like literally hunched over crying laughing. The reason why this movie appeals to me is because of, and this is where me and Boyle are going to disagree, I liked how understated Andy Samberg was. He seemed like a guy that was resigned to his fate. Like, yep, I've tried every option, and now I'm just embracing just that my life is meaningless and that every day is the same. And I appreciate that about him, because last time I saw Andy Samberg in something, and I don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I watched him in that tennis mockumentary. Cycling mockumentary. I didn't watch the Bash Brothers one, but usually Andy Samberg is playing an over-the-top character. So to see him play this was a nice surprise for me. I was like, wow, Andy Samberg really like bringing it here. And, you know, he doesn't get quite to award level acting at all, but it's still really good. And Kristen Bellotti is fantastic. You really feel for her in this movie. So I was just so happy that I could just see a movie that I was actually rooting for the characters. I wasn't groaning at the humor. The montages in the movie were hysterical. And we haven't really spoiled this movie yet at all, but other than it's like a groundhog, so I won't spoil it. But some of the montages were actually laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
And
they were good.
And then when it gets to the emotional part, like I felt the emotion, like you're rooting for him. You know, but like Mark said, yeah, it gets a little slow. And Boyle, like I understand what you're saying with her, Kristen Bellotti, she was fantastic, utterly fantastic. I didn't need the other cameos, Boyle, quite frankly. Like I was very happy that this was a very self-contained movie. And that's kind of where I'm just like, because if you're just waiting for the cameos, it's just like, oh, what's this funny person going to say? And I'm just like, you know, I kind of like how this movie is very self-contained. And J.K. Simmons was awesome.
J.K. Yeah. Simmons was a great change of pace.
His
appearances were welcomed by me. I was just like, this is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Boy,
I think that he saved it. No, I was going to say, I think he saved a portion of the movie because his relationship with Andy Samberg was the Andy Samberg I wanted to see. And then Andy Samberg in the relationship side wasn't the one I wanted to see. Did that make sense?
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
For me, J.K. Simmons adds like it. That storyline helps the whole overall movie so much.
Yes. And yes.
This movie, again, for how science fiction the story is, it felt very grounded in reality, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It wasn't like there weren't too many over-the-top characters. You know, mm-hmm. the dad, father of the bride seems like a real person. The mother of the bride seemed like a real person. The sister, the fiance, everyone felt like a real character, exception with maybe the bar people and, you know, some other people like that. But yeah, man, like I'm in love with this movie. I gave it 9 kernels out of 10 on the Fisher scale. I love this movie. It just felt effortless. And the fact that it was on Hulu and I could watch it from the comfort of my home was awesome. I don't know about you guys. I feel much more free recommending this movie to people because of the fact that it's on Hulu and I'm not telling people that they have to go spend $10. Does that affect how you guys recommend these movies to people?
Totally. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No?
Yeah, I don't care.
Like, look, pay the $10. You won't.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, swap. Spend money.
But yeah, so I had to go off on this movie just because I really loved it. And it was well written. Now, some people are like, you know, is this a Groundhog Day ripoff? Look, like, there's been so there's only so many movie ideas in the world left, but I like that this was two people and three people
two.
That were kind of, you know what I mean? That's a cool, interesting wrinkle. Yes. Like,
nice little shift.
Now, Mark, how do you feel about, because I was listening to a podcast after the fact about how this movie is a metaphor for marriage, but it could also be a metaphor for quarantine too. Where
we're getting deep over here. Yeah, they say it's like marriage.
Yeah, I was reading an article from the writer, an interview with the writer. I think it was on Letterboxd.
Yeah,
and talking about how, and I want to read it again, but it just about how like sometimes marriage can be seen like every day's the same, and you just get sick and tired of that person, and it's kind of cool to see, like, you know, the romantic in me is kind of like, you know what, that's what kind of makes it better. That the love is so strong. I don't know. Does that make it better or worse? I don't know. But did you get that vibe, or were you thinking more quarantine vibe while watching it?
No, actually, because it's a Sandberg movie, I went completely opposite. Just like, didn't really take it that seriously. You know, just kind of went in to have a good time. And I did. I wasn't looking at it like a metaphor or something, but now that you bring it up, I'm going to say metaphor for quarantine. Kind of that definitely that has the parallels, kind of, you know, today, yesterday, tomorrow, all the same. Like, we couldn't really do anything. Like, we're stuck inside, our routines are becoming very mundane, and then you have one attitude like Andy Samberg's attitude is just like whatever, whereas Christina Milioti's character trying to like strive to, you know, do something, either escape it, break the routine, whatever. Just so two different mindsets there. I guess we could probably all say that, you know, we've experienced a little of that with our quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Boyle and I have been talking about this for years too. We don't appreciate it when a movie is trying to hit us over the head with the, this is what the movie's really about. So when I had it pointed out to me, I was like, wow, like I didn't even think about it like that, but it up my enjoyment, but I'm glad that it wasn't like overtly, and maybe this is just me being an idiot, but Boyle, it didn't feel like it was overtly trying to hit me over the head with that kind of like story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd agree with you, just because I think when you have Andy Samberg as the poster child for it, you're not really looking for some deep metaphor coming out of a rom-com, really.
Guys, is it too soon to say, again, it's probably too soon. It's 2020. Let's be honest. I was going to say good couples, Halloween costumes in there, maybe.
No.
Not to give anything away, but I think the dance routine with the jean jackets and tank tops.
Oh, yeah.
Bandana.
That would be good. I was Googling that song to see if it was like a real song. Couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, that is frustrating.
I tried. I did really hard. I looked up the soundtrack for the movie and everything. Couldn't find it.
Wow. But
I love that you brought that up, because I would totally do that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, well, I'm going to watch it, because once it's on YouTube, it's like, well, I'm going to watch the scene until we literally have this down pat. But yeah, so Mark gives it a 3.5 out of 5 on the Swole scale. Boyle gives it a 6.5 on the Fisher scale. I give it a 9 kernels out of 10 on the Fisher scale. Streaming on Hulu. If I recommend this movie. I mean, look, let's be honest. It's a new movie, and we all agree that it's watchable at the very least. So
yeah, I would totally recommend this if you're looking for something new. I think it's great.
Yeah, like at the very least, you're gonna be like, oh, you know what? I that was charming. At the very least. So I don't want to oversell it.
All right, this is Cookie and
Kristen,
and we just saw
Palm Springs.
All right. Came highly recommended from one Nick Rojas as a must-see, and I'm going to give it to him. This movie did not disappoint. Without giving away any spoilers, I'm sure people have already seen this movie, but I really had a lot of fun. Definitely had that Groundhog Day, what was that birthday movie?
Yeah,
Happy Death Day. All that time loop, quantum physics, all that fun stuff.
It was original.
Like, yes.
It was a different take on it.
Yep.
And still fun. Fun. Mm-hmm. And I caught myself grinning.
You were laughing quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept on looking over and you were smiling and laughing and awake. And it totally caught your attention. And it's a great little story.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And I'll say it. I think you and I are both sick of each other, but that's what makes it work. Especially right.
with this pandemic.
I know, yeah. All right, so I'm going to give this movie,
I just gave it a four.
I was going to say an eight. Yeah, so, all right, bye.
Bye.
Let's move on to the next movie. This one also streaming on Netflix. It's called The Old Guard. It was released on July 10th. A covert team of immortal mercenaries are suddenly exposed and must now fight to keep their identity a secret, just as an unexpected new member is discovered. It's directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood. She also directed Love and Basketball, two movies that you would never think would be together at all. It was also written by Greg Rucka, and it's based on the graphic novels that guy wrote. It's starring Charlize Theron, Kiki Layne, Matthias Schoenaerts, and a host of other people, including Chiwetel Ejiofor and others. Guys, what do we think about this Netflix movie? Let's start with Boyle this time.
I loved this movie. And it was funny because I went into this knowing nothing about it. So to me, this was a treat. I started it one night. I did have to finish it the next day. But it was honestly enjoyable. I woke up and I was like, ooh, I'm excited to finish that movie today. I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed the plot. And it was interesting because at first, going into it, you both had texted about, like, this is Extraction. And, like, the movie starts off that way with, like, the weird flashback thing. And I was like, oh, my God. Are we literally doing – Mark, I'm pretty sure you said, like, oh, this is a female version of Extraction. Or I could be wrong, but something on those lines.
I did not say that. For the record, that's not what I said.
Was it you, Ross? Someone said it was, like, a version of Extraction. A female.
I said it was a junior varsity – Yes,
that's
right.
I'm trying to think. Okay. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't take credit for that. That's definitely
so more. To me, when I was like watching it, I was like, oh, okay, so this is the way we're going to go. And then all of a sudden it took like that spin, which I didn't watch a trailer for this. I didn't know the premise or synopsis going into this. So all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, wait, that's the way this is going? And at the end, I just kind of still was like, all right, this is a fun little adventure. I hate to even say it, Rojas, because it's your worst enemy, but it was fun to me that they kind of set it up that they could do it again. But, you know, your only thing that I thought you nailed on the head, which I know you're going to go off on, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but the whole,
Boy, I'm going to cut you off.
Oh,
this is the one time where you and I, meme of guys' arms reaching together. I love that. I love that this set us up for more adventures.
Yes. Wow. Oh my God.
But the first.
Wait, what?
The thing is, Boyle, the whole movie didn't feel like a whole setup.
Totally.
It felt like its own movie, and then it left the door open.
And then at the end, they're like, listen, we want you to do this. And you're like, oh, okay. I see what you're doing there.
I'll save what I'm saying for later. But yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And with you. Leading into, I think you should go next and then Mark finish up. But like,
yeah,
I loved the fact that you said, I feel like this was if a graphic novel could have been like Captain Underpants style, you know, the flipperama. Like, I feel like if you could have flipperamaed a graphic novel of this movie, that's what I watched. Like, right. It was totally an action. I'm saying it's like an action graphic novel that's so, fun to watch, and the action's fun, and it was just like, I don't know, it was good. It had a good story, and it was about like kind of in a way some superheroes in a sense. Like it was fun. It was to me. I'm gonna come right out and finish up my thoughts with. I gave this a 7.5 out of 10. Contemplated going up to an 8. It's a really good movie, but
okay, wow, I was not expecting that, Boyle. So for me, Mark, I'll go quickly.
Take your time because I've got some feelings.
Yes, I know. I give this movie a 6 out of 10. And the reason why it's just over the middle, I'll talk about the good parts first. I really like the directing in this movie. The action scenes were good. I thought the CGI of them recovering from their wounds was cool. It didn't look cheesy. I liked that this movie had some strong female leads. Male characters, I like that it had some, it like, it never felt like this movie is like, you're a tough woman. It was just like, you're just a tough person. I like that. You know, you feel like you don't really get that very often. All right. And the plot was good. Here's my thing. And the reason why this movie is worth discussion. I've said this ever since I watched it, Mark. This is one of those rare movies where I'm like, this doesn't work as a movie. It works, and I, without even reading the source material, which was a graphic novel, I was like, I can see why this is way better as a graphic novel. This is like the wrong format for this story. Because the whole time I'm watching them talk about, oh man, you should have saw this guy in 1812 and this guy in the Crusade. I'm like, I wish I could have saw that. That to me was cool. My brother Austin said it best. He's like, why do we feel like 2020 is the best era to tell a story in? I would have loved to see this crew run through World War I like we saw in the pictures. I was like, show me that story. Show me the person from the Crusades, the Bronze Era, and War of 1812 during World War I. That would have been awesome. Instead, we get them, you know, in 2020 and just like, hey, remember right. when this awesome thing happened? So
that's and all that's I where I was thinking, Ross, with like do like sequel, prequel, kind of like Kingsman sort of style.
Yeah,
like,
I literally said that with my brother. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So
it's that's why I'm kind of like I and Mark and I have discussed this about other movies. It's like. It's so frustrating to be watching a movie and you're just like, show me the other movie. I want to see the other movie. That's not, I'm getting the bad part of the story right now. I'm seeing the downfall. Like, show me the other good stuff. So 6 out of 10, like I liked the way it ended. I like that. It's like, I feel like I know the characters and Mark will get into this a little bit more, but I felt like I really knew the characters enough to really care towards the end. So I'm looking forward to a sequel, but it's just a 6 out of 10. I'm glad I saw this on Netflix. I was surprisingly, I enjoyed it. But Mark, take it away.
Now, I'll get my rating out of the way. I gave this 2.5 stars out of 5. 2.5. This is a typical Netflix action movie. It was underwhelming. I thought the action sequences were good, but not great. That's why I compared it to as a JV Extraction. I'm bringing that movie up a lot today. Maybe I'm just obsessed.
It's fair.
With Extraction. No, it's like, because I'm a big Charlize Theron fan. So when I saw that she was starring in this, I put it on my watch list. I was like, let's do this. I was all jacked up. I liked her character, but I thought they kind of Captain Marveled her a little bit, where it's like there is just... sort of a convoluted character arc and structure to her. It was a little too much. And then I took umbrage with everyone's backstory being a major play in it, when it should have just been Charlize Theron's character's backstory. Like, that was tragic. You know, it's like you really feel for her. Like, this is why she's the way she is. But now all of a sudden, every, you know, secondary character is getting like something like a woe is me sort of thing. And I thought that was taken away from what should have been the star of our show.
But you got no closure to it. You got no closure.
Yeah, not even no closure. I was like, there's too much going on. Like almost like smoke and mirrors. Like, I'm getting distracted. It's like everyone's got their own motivation. So what am I? I can't feel empathetic towards every single character, because then, like, any sort of, like, I'm gonna, like, a little bit of a spoiler warning, I guess, but any sort of betrayal or backstabbing, it's like, now I'm supposed to, like, feel like it's okay with no matter, like, which character's been, like, who am I actually rooting for now?
Yeah,
they made it a little cloudy for me, and I didn't like that. And then, so I thought the story wasn't that great with that, and kind of like what Roa said. Like, they show like these clips of all like this awesome stuff happening like way in the past, and you're like, wait a minute, this sounds way more interesting. It's like, this would have been awesome to see this, but now I'm getting the 2020 version of it.
Yeah, I mean, so, I thought the same thing with the Civil War stuff and all that, but like, I was like, I don't know, I still took it for what it was, and just, I loved every minute of it.
I think I would have benefited from watching it like you did, though, Boyle. I think if I broke it up, like, watched, like, the first half, took a break, and then went back to it, I think I might have liked it better, just because I felt like it started to drag, and once it started to drag, I was, you know, in a very critical mood from that point going forward, just like come on, like, let's go finish this up. Like, yep. I think to me, it's just meh. Like, I'm hurting for new movies to be released, and it was nice to see something new. And again, Charlize Theron, she was good. She did a very good job with this movie. I was invested in her character. I liked her performance. Very believable with the action scenes. Like, Boyle, you said it, it's kind of like a superhero movie. Like, they didn't have, like, super strength. They couldn't, like, fly or anything. But it, I felt like she was believable from, a sci-fi standpoint.
And it was weird. It was interesting. We still never understood why. You know what I mean?
I think that's part of the good things.
What I'm saying. I like that about it.
I don't like the explanation all the time with stuff. Sometimes when they explain it, I'm kind of like...
Let's use our imagination. Let me think.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's... Yeah, Mark.
Let me put a bow on this, though, just to wrap up. They do set up for a sequel at the end, but, like, I don't need it. No. I'm not interested. I kind of hope production gets shut down because I don't want it clouding up my timeline. Well, it's just okay. It's like, don't set up for a movie that, like, a sequel and then, like, it's just okay. Like Green Lantern or whatever. I'm like, ugh, I don't need that.
So many movies have been very presumptuous and like, hey, sequel. And we're like, no, we barely made it through this one.
How about no?
You talked about timeline. A lot of people on Netflix have seen this on their timeline. It's been in the top 10 for a long time. 10 days by the time we're recording this, right? Netflix released that it is on track to reach the way they use the words here. It's on track to reach 72 million households in its first 4 weeks. It's only been out 10 days as the time of this recording. So take that what you will. And a view for Netflix is watching at least 2 minutes of the movie. So, you know, it is what it is. Extraction has 99 million views, 99 million accounts watching the first 2 minutes. So this movie's going to be on track to reach 72 accounts. The way they do their numbers, does this movie deserve to be seen by as many people? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think it's that great, but yeah. So Mark, you give it a 2.5 out of 5. I gave it a 6 out of 10. Boyle, what'd you give it?
7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10 from.
One. And that's like a hard 7. He was leaning towards giving it an 8.
He was.
I really, again. It was a pleasurable movie by myself too. Yeah. Like that was one I actually watched by myself on the couch again that first half night, second the next day, and I just was like, "Hey, that was like different and fun. Whatever, I'll take it for what it was."
Well, thanks, Boyle, for that. Now let's go into the X-Men rewatch that DeSisto is currently on. Mark, how's that going over there?
You know what? I can't complain. I really enjoyed these movies as a young teen. So it was kind of nice to go back and kind of rewatch some of these, especially the newer ones. So for those of you who have the streaming services, Disney Plus and HBO Max, the newer wave of the X-Men series are starting to hit Disney Plus. So I decided to give these a good rewatch. I watched the X-Men movie that came out in 2000. I watched X-Men The Last Stand. Both, I really enjoyed those. That's where I really think what they did a good job with this was in casting. Like when I look at that cast, like each of these actors and actresses, like that's who I see as these respective comic book characters. Like Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. I don't see how they can really recast that and make me believe it. That's going to be really tough for them to do. Patrick Stewart as Professor X, Charles Xavier, perfect. Ian McKellen as Magneto, perfect. But that I do want to get into Days of Future Past and First Class talking about that. Amazing job at the way that they spliced those castings, because while I just said like that first wave was perfect, I think they did as good as they could have done with introducing like the same characters with a new cast and still making it, you know, outstanding. Like James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, those are some of my favorite actors, and like they're just doing such a good job like playing those iconic characters that we kind of grew up with, so to speak, if you're like in our age bracket, and then still playing these characters in a way that we want to see it. So I say, if you're going to do a rewatch, Disney Plus and HBO Max, they've got most of them. And again, I think they, to me, they still hold up. You know, if you're a fan of the X-Men, like, give them a rewatch. I enjoyed them just as much as I did the first time around. I'm very pleased with it.
Thank you, Mark. A tremendous summarization of the rewatch, which is critical on these platforms because they're banking on us watching a lot of stuff that we've already seen before.
You know what? Maybe I've said, I will say a lot of the lines, just to, if we're, I gotta, you know, complain just a little bit because these aren't like perfect movies. They are still corny. Like some of the lines, you're just like, oh, it's just as bad as I remember that line being, or sometimes even worse. when Storm, spoiler alert, everybody, for a movie that's 20 years old. When Storm strikes Toad with lightning, it's Halle Berry, and she's like, do you know what happens to a Toad when it gets struck by lightning? And you're just like, nah, don't say it. Same thing as everything else. You're like, ah! Like,
now, watching those older ones, have you seen the progression of how people approach these superhero movies?
I was going to say, I think I put that in one of my reviews on Letterboxd, so I have it in writing. But I think they really set the stage for the comic book movies and like the superhero movies, kind of like bringing together a big blockbuster cast and kind of meshing storylines. Like, I think the X-Men walked so the Avengers could run and fly. Because I think like that, even though obviously the Avengers did it on such an epic scale, the X-Men kind of merged that first. On obviously a much smaller scale, but they wove storylines together with like big name characters in multiple different roles. So having like a true star was kind of difficult in that sense. But now, they did eventually start branching off and give like origin story this and kind of that, Wolverine X-Men Origins and kind of the Wolverine just getting its own like series of movies there. But I think like without like kind of the X-Men and the X-Men's success earlier in the 2000s, we don't get movies like the Avengers.
Yeah. They seemed like more, I remember at the time as a kid thinking like, well, this movie seems serious. Like it had.
Yeah. And you know what, the graphics and like the visual effects, they kind of hold up. Like they don't look that bad.
Oh, that's good.
For movies that are like 20 years old, like sometimes. Like, you can see it, like, a little bit, but I will say it kind of holds up digitally.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. We're now going to move along to another movie that you two guys saw. The movie was released in 2019. February 28th, 2020 was when it came out on streaming, but it says it was made in 2019. This movie's called Guns Akimbo. Guns Akimbo. A guy relies on his newly acquired gladiator skills to save his ex-girlfriend from kidnappers. Directed by and written by Jason Lee Howden. It stars Samara Weaving, Daniel Radcliffe, and Rhys Darby, who you might remember from Flight of the Conchords. He played, who was he on Flight of the Conchords? He was great on Flight of the Conchords. Ah, Murray. Yes, present. So, what'd you guys think about this movie, and where can people watch it?
Mark, you okay if I start?
Go ahead.
I loved this movie. Like, so in retrospect from like the conversation about Palm Springs, and I know how much like you guys were going off about that, but like to me, this gave me more of a thrill than that movie did. Like, I thought the action was sweet. I thought the premise was cool. Like, he basically trolled some people on the black web and, the dark web, sorry. I was thinking black market and then said dark web altogether. The dark web. And it was like, it was so interesting to see like he just like didn't understand certain things or whatever. I don't want to give anything away, but it's well worth the watch and like such a fun at home action movie that you didn't need the movie theater. But I think the movie theater might have been cool to see this movie. This was like, I got the feelings of. Ooh, did I write it down? Darn it, I didn't. But it was like upgrade-ish Rojas with like a combination of what's another more recent one? I can't think of what the other idea I had was, but it was fun and like the dialogue was like quirky and corny, but it wasn't stupid. It was like funny comedy, like they played well off each other, and I I think between Daniel Radcliffe and Samara Weaving, it was just – it was a very, very fun movie. Again, I gave this movie a 8.5 out of 10. And Mark, whoa, leading into – yeah, I gave this an 8.5 out of 10. I really loved this. I'd probably watch it again tomorrow. I just thought it was a lot of fun. And Mark, the line that killed me in this was when something happens to Nyx in the big fight towards the end, and she goes, "Friday night just got a little bit more lonely," and I lost it. I paused the movie, and I literally, I was laughing so hard, and Michaela laughed, and then she goes, "Oh wait," and I said, "I know," like, oh, it was awesome. It was just great line. So yeah, Rojas, definitely suggest it. Mark, tell me what you think.
You know what? I thought it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Totally.
I remember specifically seeing the preview for this in theaters and saying, like, well, wow, I can't wait to not see this. This looks absolutely terrible.
I know. And I thought the same thing with the premise and everything. I was like, this is going to be dumb.
Yeah, but then once you recommended it, I was like, you know what? I can do this. Like, I'll give it a whirl. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I thought the story was going to be much different than it actually was. Like, the fact that he was an online troll and then, like, these gangbangers, like, showed up and, like, did that to him. Like, I don't think they made it clear that he was a troll online. If they, like, said that for the, like, the preview, I probably would have been more interested. But it was, like, it was funny. Like,
yes.
And the directing style and the action was a lot like The Watchmen, the Watchmen, yep, the movie.
Yep.
It's just like the big, like, kind of epic, but they made it funny. I thought it was a really self-aware movie.
Yes, totally. Totally.
I really like that about it. And then so Samara Weaving, I really like a lot of the movie that she's in. She's in Ready or Not, which I reviewed pretty highly. She's in The Babysitter, which I also reviewed pretty highly. Like, she's a very enjoyable actress. And I thought with her character, she definitely added to the movie in a positive way. Like, I'm not a huge Daniel Radcliffe guy, but he was good in this.
And you know what's funny? He's super British, Mark. He's super British, and he didn't even, like, you never would have known that in this movie.
Right. Yeah. No, I would say he did such a good job.
Yeah.
It was a pleasant surprise for me. But, like, it wasn't that good. Like, I was kind of in and out with, like, my interest. But I definitely enjoyed it. I was trying to watch it late last night, and I had to finish it, like, around lunch today. But I'm glad I did that because I ended up really enjoying the end. I thought it kind of got better as the movie went on.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Oh, and you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yes,
for you Prime subscribers, pretty easy. Again, enjoyable. 3 stars out of 5 for me. 3 out of 5.
Thank you both for shouldering the load on that. I didn't get a chance to watch it. Like you said, Samara Weaving, for those who listen to the show, probably will most know her from Ready or Not, but she was also in that show Hollywood that was on Netflix.
I watched like 3 episodes of that, and like it started out good, and then it took a turn for the weird. And I stopped watching. I can't watch that show.
That's kind of what I've gathered about that show. Enough people saw it ahead of me so that I didn't have to see it. So I appreciate everyone who fell on the sword for me. So let's move along now to the part of the podcast that we kind of got to get our quick picks on, because a lot of us have seen a lot more than others, so we want to be able to talk about at least some of these movies, at least a little bit in passing. So let's start off with Boyle. Boyle, what are some of the quick picks? You have a minute each. Each of us have a minute to talk about this. You're on the clock. Ready, set, go.
All right. So first, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. It was a classic rewatch. I still think it's hilarious. And I still give this movie a classic 7.5 out of 10. Just good old funny Adam Sandler movie with Kevin James. And then The Devil's Advocate. That was my first movie I watched, like, the Tuesday after our last recording, and I loved it. 9 out of 10, powerhouse movie. The casting, Al Pacino, Keanu Reeves, dude, it was incredible. I loved every minute. Charlize Theron was in there as the girl, the wife. Sorry, Theron. It was amazing, man. It just was so much fun. And then finally, Total Recall. I watched the old one, the Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's the one to go with. 9 out of 10. He takes a random person who got shot in the mall as bad guys and used him as a shield, which I thought was hilarious. And then he's wearing the same outfit as he was wearing in Jingle All the Way, which I thought was also ironic. I loved when he was fighting the old lady with the briefcase and he's like, F you, you... And then, like, yells at her. I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. And then he got five the other guy got five kids to feed. And there's just so there's so many craziness going on there, and I absolutely loved it. And finally, I finally watched Rojas, this 7500 movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt up in the plane. And, wow, what an intense movie. I gave that one an 8.5 out of 10. That was awesome. So, yeah. 9 out of 10 for Devil's Advocate, 9 out of 10 for Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger old one. I now pronounce Chuck and Larry 7.5 out of 10. And then finally, 7,500, 8.5 out of 10. So, done.
1 minute, 41 seconds.
Eek.
Spoiled. Egregious.
Going way over. That's the
boil. You didn't give me my slot for the Total Recall, so that was my slot for it.
That's the boil I miss. Him just rattling off like 17...
Yep.
Different movie and rating them all so highly. Yeah. Love it. All right, Mark. Take it away, my friend.
All right. 3, 2. I rewatched one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, Die Hard. 32nd anniversary was just last week. That's right.
Boo.
Die Hard turned 32. It's on HBO Max. That's right. Welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the party. I love that movie, as do most of you listening. I know you do. You don't have to deny it. Just give it a rewatch. If you haven't seen it, I demand you see it. That's right. Demand, not ask. And then I also saw Footloose. Fun movie. Kevin Bacon's in it. It's a classic to a lot of people. I liked it. Didn't love it. Is Footloose still the greatest movie ever made? It never was. But yeah, it's on Hulu. Go ahead, check it out. And I'm done. 59 wow. seconds.
There we go. Right under the buzzer. Okay. You guys ready? And go. My picks are all on Netflix, available for streaming right now. I saw The Long Dumb Road, Tony Revolori and Jason Mantzoukas. It's, you know, not all of us loved it. I wouldn't say I loved it. I really liked this movie a lot, though. Very a quirky, funny road trip movie between Jason Mantzoukas and Tony Revolori. And it gets awkward at times. It's funny at times. It's a little sentimental at times. It's just a simple, very 90-minute movie. Like, you know, if you like Jason Mantzoukas, check it out. Also saw The Firm, Tom Cruise, John Grisham movie. That is a dad's dad movie right there. Watch that on a kind of crummy Saturday evening if, you know, the weather's poor. And then I watched Catch Me If You Can. Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio. Finally watched it. Enjoyed the heck out of that movie. That is just a fun, entertaining movie, and I really enjoyed it. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Wonderful. So now going into the worst picks, right? Mark, what did you call it?
My Take a Leak for the Week.
Take a Leak for the Week.
Take a leak instead of watch this movie.
Go off. Wait, Mark, you want to go first?
You want to go first?
I would love to go first. This week in movies that stink, I watched The Beach House, so you don't have to. This movie was big bad. It's new. It's horror. I wanted to watch it. 2020 is the year that is going to kill the horror genre. This movie is bad. The acting is bad. It's uninspiring. The dialogue is bad. The effects are bland. Thank God. The only thing good about this movie was it was only 88 minutes long. I have nothing nice to say about this movie. Good day, sir. Good day.
I love it. I have no interest in this
movie. Okay, now I'm good. I'm sorry. I had to get one big boo in there.
You got to, you know, reach the... You know, that mark every episode at the very least, Mark. Boyle, what about you, man?
So I have three. First one, which is a classic for many people, Best in Show. I did not find it as funny as people say it's an all-time classic. I watched it. It's on Hulu right now. Mikhail and I both, like, at the end, she was like, what'd you think? Like, I thought it was okay. I said, yeah, I thought it was okay, but, like, I literally, like, didn't laugh at all. And she's like, you're right. You made no, like, facial expressions, no comments, no nothing. I said, it was just a meh movie. I just didn't – sure, there were parts that were like, haha, classic, but, like, not really. So, 5 out of 10. I just felt there was some nostalgia there. Then I did the new Total Recall to contrast with the Arnold Schwarzenegger old one. And the new Total Recall stinks. It's junk. It's dumb. And I gave it a 2 out of 10. It was a waste of my time, honestly. I'm mad I watched it. They ruined the storyline. They ruined where it was really should have gone. And I was not happy about it. I'm really mad. Anyways, and then I watched The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage. And he's basically this wicked, depressed, like really bad dad and ex-husband and all this stuff. And it was just such a depressing movie. And I just had to give it credit because he did such a good job at being such a bad person that you had to like I appreciated how well he did it. Such a jerk and like a bad person. So I gave it a 2 out of 10, but like, it was just yikes. Never watched that movie. Never.
I've seen The Weatherman. Is that the movie where he only keeps $1 in his wallet the whole time?
Yes, and then he has the bow and stuff. Yikes, dude. Yikes. And his dad makes him feel like crap the entire movie until the end. And then he's like gonna die. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, everything in his world is just crippling away, but he's so mean to everyone. It's like, dude, you gotta reevaluate everything. The minute you root for him, he ruins everything. You're like, I feel nothing for you again. So
Nick Cage, baby.
My dude, hero. I love my Nick Cage, but like, dude, it was garbage. I've been dying to see it, and it was just a waste of time. So anyways, Rojas, you're up, bud.
Yeah, I'm up, and I got nothing this week. I actually watched so little movies that I didn't see anything bad. Yeah, I have nothing negative to say. All positive.
That's
this
a
week.
Good week.
It is a good week.
Great week. It's been a great week for movies for me.
But yeah, so we're looking forward to anything else that comes out on streaming.
Let me do one for Rojas then.
Yes.
Since I was on the X-Men train. X-Men Apocalypse, big bad. Not a bad
movie. That's the only movie I've ever given, I think, a 0 to.
Wow, 0. So
I hated that movie.
Well, let's tag team it. Just for Rojas. Rojas is skip of the week. Is X-Men Apocalypse. It's on Disney Plus if you want to, you know, inflict pain on yourself. It's like Oscar Isaac is like the bad guy in it. And I'm just like, I feel so
yes,
bad for him.
Yes, I know.
Made him do this movie. First of all, he didn't have to like act at all. Like they did not have to cast him in this role at all because he's completely covered in makeup. So he's like, you don't know it's him. I didn't know it was him until I rewatched it.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I didn't know it was Oscar Isaac. I didn't realize they put him through this.
Dude,
yeah, I was
God.
I feel so bad for this guy. And you know what really stinks is one of the best scenes in all of X-Men is in this movie, and it's wasted because it's hidden in this piece of trash. Yeah, it's like when they have Quicksilver, like, I'm just going to spoil it because no one cares. This movie's bad. But when Quicksilver saves everyone from an exploding building, that movie was, I mean, that scene was awesome. It was so sick.
I'll agree with you.
The soundtrack was perfect for it. And then I was like, and during my rewatch, I was like, I can't believe they wasted this scene in this movie. I was like, they didn't do it any justice. Yep. Yeah.
There is nothing worse than like putting either good people in a bad movie or really great scenes. It's just like, what a waste.
Yeah. Cause like, I don't want to watch 2 hours just to see this like one, like 2 minute clip. Like, cause it was awesome. Oh, and Olivia Munn's in it. And she, you know, a big fan.
Big fan
of Olivia Munn. Yeah, she'll get my vote.
Well,
but yeah. So Rojas, I guess we spoke for you on that one.
No, I do appreciate it because I really did not. I had not seen enough. I mean, the only movie that I had seen that I didn't talk about on this was I saw The Hateful Eight by Tarantino. Excellent movie. And then I watched Higher Learning, which is just like an okay movie from the 90s. So I didn't see that much. But We had to get one more shot in at X-Men Apocalypse. The show has not done its job if we don't get...
We did have to get after X-Men Apocalypse.
Just, no, we didn't. Just...
But I was like, no, he wasn't...
Boyle gave it a zero.
A zero out of 10. Boyle, how bad was this movie then?
Dude, this movie was not good. Like I remember I was in the movie theater. I almost fell asleep. Like it was a terrible way because that was the last movie with all those characters, and that movie ruined it. And I remember the cast at the time, they had interviewed him, and even they were like, "Yeah, it just needed to end." Like they were all at their wits' end when recording, so you could just feel that when watching it. You're like, "Oh, they really didn't care." Oh, yeah. And then, like he said, like Quicksilver scene was cool. And such a waste in that movie. So, yeah. That's besides that, like, I guess, like, a zero is harsh, but, like, maybe a half. Like,
just because for Quicksilver's scene alone, it can't be a zero. That scene was so good, it can't be a zero for a movie.
I know.
I'll skip it. I'll be sure to skip it. Thank you guys for the... for all that. But I appreciate it, guys. And that brings us to the end of the episode. We have some Cookie and Kristen reviews at the end. I think they're going to talk about Dr. Sleep and also Blind Spotting. I have not seen Dr. Sleep yet, but we did talk about Blind Spotting a few weeks ago. But so follow the show on Twitter and on Instagram, GBW Pod. Follow Mark Swolstow, Boyle, Boyle 92. I'm at Rojo 36. Let us know what you've been watching. Tweet at us. Message us on Instagram. Let us know because we have time. There's still a pandemic going on. So, follow the experts. Listen to what they're saying for your respective counties. Don't do anything me, DeCisco, and Boyle would do. Just don't follow our lead ever.
No, or do what we do.
Oh, yeah. Or do. And just see where that goes. See how that works out. But, guys, anything else?
No, my friend.
No, I'm good. I just really wish they never remade Total Recall.
We don't speak about that.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yep. Sorry. Shout out to Colin Farrell. All right, guys. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Cookie and
Kristen.
And we just saw Dr. Sleep.
Oh, that's it.
Starring who?
Ian McGregor.
That's right. With his best non-accent, I think. Yeah. You could probably hear it in the background. You can watch it on... HBO. It is the sequel to Stephen King's 1980 The Shining. What'd you think?
Very classic movie, The Shining. Good. Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly like The Shining, which is nice. You like those continuations that kind of take you in a different direction.
Kind of explains The Shine.
Yes, it explains The Shine, what it's about, and the power.
I just wonder what goes on in his brain that he writes these things.
Yeah, Stephen King.
Yeah.
I wonder if he sleeps well.
I don't know. But I thought it was pretty good. Story, like you said, was interesting. I think Ewan McGregor did a decent job, for Obi-Wan. Interesting story. I will give a couple spoilers. You do see the Overlook once again. Mm-hmm. So you do revisit that. So if you've had nightmares like I have, I'm going to have some tonight. So in fact, I'm going to ask you to take the dog out tonight. Yeah, no? Okay. Bad. So what do you give it on the Fisher scale?
Well, a 7. I mean, 6.5.
So. Did you have any jump out of your seat like type moments?
It takes a lot for me to jump out of my seat.
I think I had some goosebump moments.
I base it on the fact that I stayed awake again.
Yes. She did not fall asleep whatsoever. So I'm going to give it a 7 too. So worth watching. All right. Yeah. See you later. Bye. This is Cookie and
Kristen.
And we just saw
Blind Spotting.
Yeah. I don't know how this movie, we didn't get a chance to see it in 2018. Maybe it didn't hit AMC theaters. Maybe that's why we didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe. We were very partial to AMC.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Excellent. I think, especially now, I was just writing in my review that, for all of us who think we're aware and, doing everything we need to be anti-prejudice, anti you know, I don't know. But to be aware of what's going on, it's my white privilege that I still am shocked and being made aware of the situations mm-hmm. that a whole other segment of people have to deal with mm-hmm. every single day. My heart was in my throat the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I was anxious for him.
Yeah, it was a tough movie to watch, but I think David Diggs does a great job. Rafael Casal does a great job as Miles. Interesting story, gentrification, black-white relations, prisoners' rights, gun control, just a whole bunch of stuff. So to steal from Variety, it's the most exciting cinematic take on contemporary race relations since Do the Right Thing. So definitely, I'm glad, Nick, that you made, Nick Rojas, I'm glad you made me watch this. And I'm going to give this 9 stars. You?
Yeah, I absolutely. Yeah. I gave it 4 out of 5, so.
So it's an 8.
Well, I'll go and give it a half more.
Okay, you got to go boil and give it a half.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye.